As the Lord took his second step, he covered the heavenly planets, and not even a spot remained for the third step, for the Lord's foot extended higher and higher beyond Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka, and even Satyaloka. Purport, when the Lord's footstep exceeded the height of all the lokas, including Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka, and Satyaloka, his nails certainly pierced the covering of the universe. The universe is covered by the five material elements, Bhumir, Apo, Nalo, Vayu, Kam. As stated in the Shastra, these elements are in layers, each 10 times thicker than the previous one. Nonetheless, the nails of the Lord pierced through all these layers and made a hole penetrating into the spiritual world. From this hole, the water of the Ganges infiltrated into this material world. And therefore it is said, Padana Kanira Janitad Jana Pavana, the Shavata Stotra. Because the Lord kicked a hole in the covering of the universe, the water of the Ganges came into this material world to deliver all the fallen souls. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 20th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders the Universe. Urukram. Urukramasya of Urukram, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who performs uncommon activities, very great activities, very great steps, big steps. One small step for man and one great step for mankind. We have heard about this. Not as great as the steps of Vamanadeva. One small step for man, for this man, or this not man. Atimartasya Bhagavan, who is not is Superman, the real Superman. Vamande, one small step for him is more than any human can imagine doing. Not only can he not imagine, he can't imagine Bhagavan doing either. He can't imagine that Vamande is doing. Therefore, he disbelieves in Vamande. Those who are pious, they will believe and accept. When they see the Ganga flowing, they see this is coming from the lotus foot of Lord Vamandeva, his very long toenail, it seems. Sometimes people want to grow their toenail or their fingernail very long. But it's not as big as Lord Vamandeva's, that's for sure. It pierces through all the universe. Can you imagine a toenail growing from here to America? You could drive your car over on a bridge. But that... It's unimaginable, isn't it? But that's only the first millimeter of Lord Vamandeva's toenail. Not even that much. Because all the universe, what we think, this vast universe, we're going in a spacecraft, exploring space. But even if we could reach the edge of the universe, it's like a little, tiny little pea in a huge pot. So a toenail that stretched from here to America, which is unbelievable, that's not even the beginning of Vamandeva's toenail. He expanded. So this is not believable. We cannot accept this unless we are blessed by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. One who's very educated, they cannot accept this. Only foolish people will accept this, according to the educated people. More educated people, they know that we've studied, we've seen, we've understood, so we cannot accept such things. And those who are less intelligent from the materialistic point of view, they will accept. Here's the Ganga flowing. Ganga came from the Karna. The Karna Samudra, the causal ocean, being the toenail of the Lord has pierced through and the water has come through. And another source of that Ganga is coming through, or another source of Ganga is that foot pierced to the edge of the universe, to the top of the universe, including Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka, and Satyaloka. At the top of Satyaloka sits Lord Brahma. So he was sitting there on his lotus seat, watching all this going on, and he sees Lord Vamandev coming and his big foot extending and just goes past his Padmasana. So he reached out his Kamandalu and poured some water. I had the opportunity to do some service washing the Lord's foot. Don't miss it when it comes. If the chance is there, take it. So he was a good opportunist. He took the opportunity, and that water mixed with the water coming from the Karana Samudra and came down through the downs of Satyaloka, Tanaloka, Janaloka, Mahaloka to Swargaloka. And then is carried in airplanes to this Himalayas, where we say the source of the Ganga is, who knows? What's the name of the source of the Ganga? Gangotri. So they say the source, but no, the source of the Ganga is the lotus feet of the Lord. So yeah, from our perspective, it seems like the source. And then again, she enters the ocean at Ganga Saga. Although if from the geographical point of view, the main water of the Ganga doesn't come down to Ganga Saga. That goes east into what is now Bangladesh. But those who know the Puranic name and even the present name, that Ganga is when all the water comes flowing. I'm seeing from your side, okay, this Gangotri comes through the Himalayas and then turns above Delhi, and Yamuna comes by the side of Delhi and comes from this side and then flows all the way gradually down. So many holy places, holy because they're on the bank of the Ganga. And then again turns, and then we're going this way, so it turns this way. And the main water goes into what's now called Bangladesh. But this water coming down here, this is Bhagirathi. Bhagirathi was how this path of the Ganga came. They'll say that it comes through the glacial plain or something. They have their explanations. But we know Ganga came like this because Bhagirathi brought Ganga down. And he was going a little bit off. It seems like he was going off course, but then it's all the plan of the Lord. So the Ganga was going east and east and east. We need to go south of it to get to the spot where Kapiladev had burned his ancestors. So and he came east, practically directly above that, north. And then he turned. So he came down through Navadvip Dham, waiting for the presence of the Ganga king, and she flowed through Navadvip Dham, waiting for the coming of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then came to Ganga Saga, where she, Ganga meets Saga. They're both devotees. Ganga is a devotee, and Saga, the ocean, is also a devotee. So they meet there, and then she goes down. This is the Puranic description, not the geographical description. Transcendental geography. This is transcendental cosmography. You can study and see that there was a big bang, and then there was melting down, solidification, and all the planets came. But you can believe that if you like. Or if you like, you can believe Vyasadeva, who has given this description of Vamandev. His Leela is also connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. Everything is all connected there. how he brought the arranged for the Ganga to come. And of course, there's so many stories behind that, how Ganga is an eternal associate of the Lord in the spiritual world, how she came being cursed, and although there's no cursing in the spiritual world, she came here and is worshipped by everyone as Patita Pavani, Padanakanira Janita, Jana Pavana, by Vamandi, piercing a hole in the universe. Then Ganga has come, who delivers the fallen, but still her glories are not as great as those of Yamuna. Because Lord Krishna, even though Ganga is blessed by Lord Rama, he was going back and forwards across Ganga. Vedvyas in Badrikashram, bathing at Alakananda, this original Ganga up there. It's called Alakananda. So in so many ways, so many great, even the Supreme Lord, but Krishna himself came, was bathing in Yamuna. So Yamuna is considered even more purifying than Ganga. But then again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and played in Ganga. So then again, Ganga becomes, it's a transcendental competition. Who's more, Krishna or God? Who will say? Then you can argue if you like. That Ganga and Navadvip, that's also Yamuna and Ganga mixed anyway, because Yamuna already came. This when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he was wandering for some 4 days, thinking, I'm going to Vrindavan. And Nityananda was taking, said, oh, I'll take you to Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, that's very good. He knows how to go because he was there before. Before he came to meet me, he was in Vrindavan. So he must know the way. So he brought him, and now we're going on a boat, and he was offering prayers. This is the Yamuna. And then they came to Advaita Acharya's house. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what's going on? This is the Ganga. He said, well, it's Yamuna also. Because Yamuna already joined, and this side, Yamuna is, this side is Yamuna water. So he's not lying. We tricked you, but he didn't tell a lie. He said it was the Yamuna. And it is Yamuna. So Yamuna and Ganga mixed. So these are all wonderful things. People still have faith. Otherwise there'd be no Kumbh Mela. We have faith in Ganga. How many people do you get for your football matches? Last night there was some football match. Oh, we had all the... Seems there was some football match. They had the crowd outside the apartment cheering and booing and all this. So how much do they get at their football games? 50,000, 80,000, 100,000, biggest. But Kumbh Mela, they count in hundreds of thousands, lakhs. How many is that? Not how many thousands, how many lakhs. So, at minimum there'll be 150 lakhs over during the course. That's 1.5 million. No, 15 million, sorry. I went too far. 1.5 million. I don't know, it's difficult to say. They give them, no, it's got to be much more than that. It may be, yeah.
12-year one.
Yeah, I was there last time. Not last time, one time. And anyway, it's uncountable. Who can say? Maybe the demigods can say. The police give their estimates, but who knows? Even at our Rath Yatra in Baroda, there's 1.5 lakhs. So, and Baroda, the whole population of the city is only about 6 lakhs. So, police estimate is 1.5 lakhs. So, who knows? They have to say something. And they usually underestimate, just like whenever there's any riots or bomb explosions or floods or something, they say 100 people died. I mean, then you know that's at least 2,000. They always underestimate. So anyway, many, many people. And that's the ones you can see. There's many you can't even see them. So many people come. You may not even be able to see them because all different demigods, they also come. So people have faith despite their scientific education. They're still coming. Some modern Indians didn't like that. Pandit Nehru, he didn't like. Why should people believe all this? Putting the nail, I don't know if he even read that much, but he didn't like people will come. Prabhupada said that they're making the factories in Delhi. There's a deliberate government policy to pollute the Yamuna River, which flows through Delhi, so that people won't bathe in the Yamuna. They deliberately want to kill their piety. Their policy was like that. That was the policy of Pandit Nehru, so-called Pandit. He deliberately wanted to destroy the culture. Now they're complaining about some people in India are complaining about the Muslims, how much damage they did, destroying mosques and this and that. But the first government of so-called independent India, Nehru said that the temples of the new India will be the factories and the dams. And he was in South India, they brought him to Sri Rangam, the biggest functioning temple in the world. And he was saying, so much space is wasted, you've got to have a factory. So this is the attitude. So there's this Hindutva movement promoting Hinduism as a political ploy. And they're concerned that the Muslims, they're spoiling Islam. The Muslims, they can't spoil. They can't spoil what they consider to be Hinduism. But the Hindus, they can spoil it. By adopting adopting this modern way of life. Still people have faith. They're going to Kumbh Mela. But what for? Why? They don't know. Still people go to Tirupati, the most popular temple in the world, which is the most popular temple in India, because there's no one goes to temples in the same numbers as in India. People go, you ask them, why are you going? Pass my exam. Get a visa for America. Whatever. And who is that? Srinivas, Govinda. They're calling out, Govinda, Govinda. You ask them who's Govinda. They don't have the faintest idea. So, even fortunately, our devotees are distributing books there so they can get some idea. Previously, everyone would know. Previously, people used to know. That was the education. They were saying that people weren't educated previously in India. But they may not know how to read and write, but they knew who is Ram, who is Krishna, who is Vamandev. They knew what is dharma, what is adharma. They knew all these things. Now they know so many things they learn in the school. So many nonsense things they have to learn. Even more nonsense than here, what they learn here. They have to watch TV and tell what's going on TV, on some serial, something like Coronation Street, the Indian equivalent. They still have Coronation Street, it's still going on. So, why don't you tell the... I better not make that joke. Wait a minute. Terrorism joke. Someone is suggesting where someone can drop a bomb, but they're not make that kind of joke. You might get arrested. You never know. So, people knew these things. Now they have to learn about cricket stars, their batting average, and what's going on the soap opera. And they don't know. One of my godbrothers in Bombay, he told me that some young man had come up to him in Bombay and said, "What are you doing? I dress like this, like people do here." He said, well, we're worshipping Krishna. He'd actually, he'd not heard of Krishna. In London, that's not surprising. Not good, but not surprising. But in India, then... So everywhere, people need to know about Krishna. Not just... Prabhupada so many times said that it's not enough to say that we believe in God, but you should know who He is. What's His name? What does He do? What's His father's name? You should know His father's name also. In the forms, you have to fill out government forms in India. It used to be. I don't know now. But because when someone, if you meet someone, they introduce, this is my name, this is my father's name. That was the system. So, in the government form, they fill in your name, and then you have to write your father's name also. So you should know what is the name of God, and you should know, you can't know Him fully just by knowing His name. You have to know His father's name also. So here in the Srimad Bhagavatam is information, as Prabhupada said, not only who is God, God is great, but how He is great. How He is great, with two steps He covers the whole universe and even pokes His toenail right through the coverings of the universe. And this is how the Ganga covers. You can write in your geography class. What is the origin of the Ganga? How is the Ganga coming? You can write this. And how will they refute? They say, you prove it. You say, you prove it wrong. What? It's given by Vyasadeva. He's more intelligent than you. You can't even begin to understand the philosophy that he is giving. Vyasadeva wasn't a fool, that he was writing philosophy, and as a hobby in between, he was writing fairy stories. But this, when you go through all the philosophy, then you come to Lord Vamadeva. When you're finished with all philosophy, not finished, but when Atato Brahma Jignyasa, now we should inquire into the Brahma, the highest truth. Janmadhya Zayataha. He from whom everything emanates, by whom everything is maintained, by whom everything is destroyed. And who is that? Lord Vamandeva, who cheats his devotee, brings the Ganga, and shows his beautiful form so that we can remember. Chalayasi vikramane balim adbhuta vamana padanaka nirajanita jana pavana keshava dvita vamana rupa jai jagadisha. So we can hear and remember and be happy by remembering Lord Vamandeva. Very nice. You can be happy just remembering how Lord Vamandeva has pierced through the universe and the Ganga has come. Oh, how wonderful. And be happy like that. And people are so much endeavor they're going to be happy. Making nightclubs and bringing beer from the other side of the English Channel so you can drink it. And so much endeavor. But devotees are very happy. They just see it. Oh, Lord Vamandeva. Now it's just the Vamandvadashi just gone. So especially we shall hear about Lord Vamandeva. How very beautiful figure looking like the sun. Bali Maharaj is seeing how nice he looks. How fortunate I am. Such a beautiful, powerful young Brahmin has come. And Shukracharya is saying, no, no. Bali Maharaj is saying to him, no, no, to you. I'm going to give him the land. Shukracharya is trying to stop him. He's pouring the water. The water is not coming out. Shukracharya has gone inside the water pot to stop the water coming. You can hear. Shunu sukadam shubadam bhavasaram. By hearing pastimes of the Lord, we become happy in this otherwise absolutely horrible, despicable material world, where everything is, all endeavors for happiness simply result in misery. But devotees, simply by hearing about Krishna, and chanting about Krishna, remain always happy. This is the meaning of Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma Nasho Chati Na Kang Chati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhakti Bhavate. Devotees, very happy. just doesn't desire anything material, doesn't lament for anything. But his desiring and lamenting is on a different platform altogether, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was traveling in South India. He saw one Brahmin invited him for lunch. So he went there at midday. He found where's the lunch? He didn't cook. There's no food. There's not even any ingredients. He said, well, Sita Devi didn't come back from the forest yet. She went out to collect some things. He's here. He's here in one way, but his... really? She didn't come back? Okay. All right, we'll wait a little longer. And then he saw, he's looking so unhappy. Why are you so unhappy? Devotees should be happy. Why are you so unhappy? See this Ravana, he kidnapped Sita. Come on, what are you talking about? How can Ravana kidnap Sita? You don't understand. No, I'm so unhappy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after some time, came back again. So you see, it says in Karma Purana that Ravana, I told him, he couldn't kidnap Sita. He can't touch, he can't even see Sita. That was only some imitation Sita. So, that's very nice. All right, good. So now, then he became happy. So he has shoka and akanksha. He has lamentation and desire, but on a completely different platform. A devotee doesn't live in this world. He only lives in this world to bring Krishna to others. Otherwise, he's living in reality. Srimad Bhagavatam, just like Prabhupada said, these pictures in the books, they are windows to the spiritual world. Look through and you can see. Read through, you can be there. This Kulashekhar Alva, he was a king, but he was enchanted by the pastimes of the Lord. He spent all his days just hearing, listening to Ramlila. So when he heard that all the monkeys are going to attack Lanka, he called, bring the army, we're going too. Then ministers had to calm him down and say, no, actually, it's already, just sit down and listen. The battle's already finished. But he was just so absorbed. He wasn't thinking, I'm sitting here. He said, Ram is going, we should go and help. He's only got some monkeys, I've got good soldiers, let's go. He wants to fight. What am I doing sitting here listening? I'm a king. I've got all these soldiers. We should go. We can also get the darshan of Lord Ram. So this is how a devotee... He lived. Just like I was saying that there's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Amito shananda shukata bashi radhika madhava charanda. He's sitting in Godrum. Shananda shukata kunja. And everyone's seeing some elderly gentleman, retired government servant. He's come to his retirement. Oh, he's doing bhajan, a nice pious man. He's sitting and doing his bhajan. But he doesn't see, I'm a Kedarnath, retired government servant. He's seeing, this is the Shananda Shukata Kunja. This is the Kunja of Radharani and the gopis. And he's serving Radha and Krishna. So the pure devotees, they live, actually they're not, they don't live in this world. Prabhupada, when he was in New York, he was there. He was giving an example. Arjuna had to do his duty to fight. He said, just like me too, I'm also doing that. What am I doing here in New York, Prabhupada said? I don't like it here. And one woman said, yes, I know. He said, I like Vrindavan. I want to be there. So what am I doing in this horrible place? Because my guru has ordered me. I have come because it is my duty. So Prabhupada, he left Vrindavan. He never left Vrindavan. He brought Vrindavan with him. And he gave Vrindavan to us. In his books, Radha Krishna, he brought everywhere. Here are Radha and Krishna. And he invited everyone. There's this story, Prabhupada, he was wandering in the streets, as he used to know, he was loitering in the streets, and he made one handbill with the Maha Mantra written on it. And one young man described that Prabhupada gave him this handbill, and he, He gave it to me with a look on his face as if he'd given me the whole world. But it's just some piece of paper with something I can't even read written on it. And this person's looking at me like he's given me something wonderful. But he didn't, something like he gave me the whole world, but he's given far, far more than the world. But they can't appreciate. So Prabhupada gave so many. He gave the whole spiritual world. The whole spiritual world, in any one of his books, the whole spiritual world is there. If we can appreciate. Who can appreciate? Anyway, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, it's possible. Prabhupada wanted these books distributed. So who will understand? Who will accept? But by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though we have no idea what is this, people are getting these books. But by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, those who are sincere, they will appreciate. And they can also begin to clean the dirt on the mirror of their heart and see the spiritual world is reflected there. So let us hear about Lord Vamanadeva and Lord Krishna in all his different forms. Be happy in this miserable material world. And distribute these books so that others can also take advantage of this knowledge. Who's going out for the book distribution here? I just wanted to introduce to you your one of your rivals, competitors, has come here to spy on you from Helsinki, Chaitanya Ananda Prabhu. If you read, if you read the Sankirtan newsletter, you maybe know that name. So watch out. This transcendental competition is going on. I was suggesting he could one day, because I'll be leaving before him. So if he could give a little presentation about book distribution in Finland, he brought a CD and this and that. It's going on very nicely. As you can see, they have a very simple program. They get up in the morning, they chant Hare Krishna, and they go and distribute books. So, Hare Krishna. Time's up.